The gift-giving season is upon us, and today we'll find out what gardeners want. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today is Horticulture Day. Iowa State University Extension horticulturist Richard Giron will be here, along with Cindy Haynes, an associate professor in the Hort Department at ISU. They have done an extensive survey of all of the gardening experts they know to find out what gifts they're hoping for this holiday season. You can call us and tell us about the best garden-related present you've ever received, or maybe the gift that you give to all of your plant-loving friends. We'll also get a visit from St. Nick, who happens to be quite the gardener himself. You can also call us with your questions about the plants in your life. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talks. Join our conversation after this news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today is Horticulture Day, and since we're in the midst of the gift-giving season, today we're going to find out what gardeners want. Iowa State University Extension horticulturist Richard Giron is here, along with Cindy Haynes, an associate professor in the Hort Department at Iowa State. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. And you have also, on behalf of Talk of Iowa, conducted an extensive survey of all of the gardeners you know, correct?
I wouldn't say extensive, but...
We sent out an email to the Hort faculty. How's that?
Well, I think that's great. And we're going to talk about some of the presents that they suggested that gardeners might love this holiday season. We'd also love to hear from you. If there's a gift that you've received for your garden that you've absolutely loved, let us know about it. Or if there's something that you give to every gardener friend of yours, an item that you just can't live without that you want everybody to have, give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Cindy, why don't you kick us off with a few of the suggestions that you found?
Okay. Well, I was just telling Richard two of my favorite gifts that I ever received as a gardener was a gift certificate for a dump truck load of compost, which was nice to use in the garden next year, and a packet of seeds, as well as the promise from my husband to help me create a vegetable garden. So a little work, as well as, you know, planting that seed of an idea. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Was the dump truck load presented to you?
It was a little handmade gift certificate that said this entitles the bearer to, you know, 7 tons, which is a dump truck load of compost from this company, you know, in the spring. And it took us almost all season to move that dump truckload of compost to different areas in the garden. So it was interesting to put that right on your driveway and not be able to go over it for a month or two.
Right. Well, one of the suggestions that I saw that you received was from Jeff Isles saying mm-hmm. the bags of mulch are great gifts because they look so impressive under the tree.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, Jeff, I don't know how I'd feel about that.
Yeah, that we think it's a great idea.
Hard to wrap.
Yeah, hard to wrap, but it's something that we would suggest, you know, giving a gardener because they're really cheap this time of year too, and but maybe not putting them under the tree because it could be a little messy.
Right, and they're probably frozen. Too.
No kidding.
How about you, Richard?
Well, plants. You could buy a poinsettia or possibly a Norfolk Island pine, a Christmas cactus, maybe an amaryllis bulb. If you don't want to buy a plant, you could actually buy maybe a gift certificate at a garden center, and then they could buy the plant next spring.
Well, I also asked a lot of my friends on Facebook what they would like, my gardener friends on Facebook, and I heard a lot of that, a lot of mm-hmm. gift certificates. And I'm not actually a fan of receiving gift certificates, and I don't like to give them, but I guess as a gardener, that gives you creative license.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you can't really buy much plant-wise right now, but in the spring, definitely, and that's when you could use the extra...
Any excuse to visit the garden center in spring, that's a great thing for me.
And Linda Knave actually wrote a letter to Santa on our behalf. Do you uh-huh. have that with you, Cindy?
Oh, I don't.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well,
don't.
That's all right. I can read it.
Okay, please.
I have it with me. It says, "Dear Santa, I would like more grow lights or a complete indoor light unit for my basement to allow me to dig in the soil in the winter and grow more of my garden transplants, accessories such as potting soil, heating mat, Miracle-Gro, cell packs, labels, etc. would be nice, too." She's very complete with Santa. "I would also like a blooming orchid, any species, and I need a new birdhouse for my garden. Your friend, Linda Nate. I hope Santa is listening.
I hope so, too, and great ideas.
But she also had other suggestions for gifts that others might like. She said a gift contribution in the name of someone else or in their name to the Iowa State University Foundation to support the new horticulture greenhouses. Obviously, you all have a vested interest in that one.
That's true.
Garden tools, for example, if they have several ornamental grasses, an inexpensive hedge trimmer will cut them back in less than a minute and save Band-Aids for blisters. And, of course, the beautiful information 2011 garden calendar.
Yes.
From Iowa State University Extension.
Yes, give those to all of your friends. They're on sale for $6.
Right. They're cheap. They're very pretty. You can order those online or through your county extension office. And very colorful, and they have timely tips during the year.
And of course, we have a vested interest in that one, too.
Right,
one of our publications.
Of course. But what kind of information is in there?
Well, for example, if you look at a certain date, like a month, they'll tell you this is a time to, let's say, plant your tomatoes or to
cover your strawberries,
uncover your strawberries, whatever, so that you have an idea when to do things properly at the right time.
And the theme this year is all about how gardening is good for you. So we talk about how gardening helps in nutrition. It helps us relieve stress. It's a good form of exercise. And the pictures are just fantastic. So they inspire us to do more in the garden.
Carol is on the line from Carol, and she has a gift that she's giving this year. Hello, Carol.
Good morning.
Hi, you're sure you want to tell us what you're giving your friends this year?
Well, half of them I've given out already.
Okay.
Oh, good.
I'm of an age, and so are most of my friends, where the foam knee pads just don't do it anymore. You just can't plant bulbs for hours on end. So each of them are getting, I had never seen this before, a 38-inch long bulb planter.
Oh, nice.
That you step on just like a little
spade. With your foot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a very nice tool.
That's wonderful. That should help out a lot.
I love it. It's the best tool I've ever gotten except for my little bitty D-handled shaped spade.
Mm-hmm. Is there another present that you've received in the past, Carol, for Christmas or another holiday that's been garden-related that really stands out for you?
I got a red flyer wagon.
Oh, nice.
Very nice. That's great for hauling stuff around.
About 20 years ago, and it's amazing how much it'll haul.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Carol, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome.
Happy holidays. And if you'd like to tell us about a gift you're giving or one you'd like to receive for your garden this year, give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And a garden cart is a suggestion that I've seen come up a lot. Do you guys have any suggestions for the kind of garden cart or what you should look for in a good garden cart for somebody?
Well, it could be wooden or plastic. I think the ones that have, like, bicycle wheels, two of them, they're nice in that a wheelbarrow tends to fall over very easily. And these garden carts where you have these two big bicycle-type wheels on it in either plastic or a wooden container works really nice. Easy to dump, easy to push and pull in the yard, and readily available. They can be a little bit expensive, but not too bad.
Yeah, for a less expensive option, one thing I gave to some of my friends this year were some really nice gardening gloves. There are so many new gloves out there, you know, the really form-fitting gloves, the waterproof gloves, the leather-type gloves. So you can do a lot of things that maybe are a little less expensive than a garden cart.
And if you're picking out gloves for somebody, do you have any suggestions?
The ones that I gave to my friends were these kind of leather, kind of hide-type gloves that are super, super soft and in a really bright color. They were kind of painted or dyed this nice green color, so they're not going to get lost. They're chartreuse. And I actually tried them on and made sure that, you know, this one would fit this person and this one would fit this person so that it would be a nice kind of idea.
Mike is on the line from Dubuque, and he's looking for some gift-giving advice, I think. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, what would you like to know about?
I don't know if you've heard of those scale. It's like a combo where you buy the motor part, and you can buy different attachments for it. I was wondering if that was a good investment.
Boy, that's hard to say. You may want to check out Consumer Reports or maybe some other magazine and maybe where they have tried various tools and maybe rated them. That's always nice if you have that option where you can actually look at an article, see where they've rated the tools, and see which ones they pass and which ones they don't.
I think it also depends a little bit on how often you use those individual tools. So, you know, having, you don't usually use a pole pruner very often. So if you have that attachment that just, you know, removes a limb from a great distance, that would be fine that it also does something else. But if you're constantly sawing something down, then a better gift might just be the chainsaw.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Mike. And another one of my friends suggested water walls for tomatoes, so you can start them earlier in the spring give them a little bit of a boost. What are some of the other suggestions you came across?
Definitely books. There are a lot of good gardening books. If you're looking for reference books, for example, Manual of Woody Landscape Plants by Michael Duer is the classic.
And he's got
Manual
a new
Woody Landscape Plants.
And he's got an iPhone app that's coming out in January, so you could give that as a gift as well.
As far as perennials, there's Herbaceous Perennial Plants by Ellen Armitage. Again, the classic as far as perennials. If you're interested maybe in, let's say, natural plants in Iowa, there's Wildflowers of Tall Grass Prairie, which is a very nice book. And also Wildflowers of Iowa Woodlands. And so they're basically for Iowa. And in those two books, they have two pages on each plant. And one is a nice picture. And then the other page, they describe the plant. They give common names, scientific names, where they're typically found in their native habitat in Iowa, and also how the Native Americans and early settlers used that plant as they came upon it.
Do you have a few more? We're coming up to a break, Cindy, and then after the break we're going to get a little visit from St. Nick. But do you have a couple more to share?
Well, a couple that we got from other people were one said to give travel during the winter months because, you know, they like to travel. Gardeners like to travel in the winter months to warm places and see new things. So that could be an expensive gift, but a very, very
nice
one.
That also sounds like a little unrelated.
a little unrelated. But you know, if you're going to, you know, Costa Rica to look at tropical plants,
sure,
it could still be related. We also thought that one of the best gifts for our entomology friends would be those kind of butterfly, bird, insect-related ties and napkins and mugs.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
Lots of good ideas.
All right. And Donna Lewis should be all decked out come spring. You're listening to Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. It's Horticulture Day today. We've been talking about great gifts for gardeners. We'd love to hear your suggestions. We'll also be taking your calls with questions about the plants in your life. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. My guests are Iowa State University Extension horticulturist Richard Giron and Cindy Haynes of the Hort Department at ISU. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today is Horticulture Day, and we've been talking about great gifts for the gardeners in your life. My guests are Richard Giron from Iowa State University Extension and Cindy Haynes, an associate professor in the Horticulture Department at Iowa State University. And before we get to more suggestions for gardeners in your life and questions, you can also give us a call with your questions about the plants in your life. We're going to get a little visit from St. Nick.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the yard the branches were bare and the ground frozen hard. The roses were dormant and mulched all around to protect them from damage if frost heaves the ground. The perennials were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of 5-10-5 danced in their heads. The new planted shrubs had been soaked by the hose to settle their roots for a long winter's doze. And out on the lawn, the new fallen snow protected the roots of the grasses below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a truck full of gifts of gardening gear? St. Nick was the driver, the jolly old elf, and he winked as he said, 'I'm a gardener myself. I've brought wiltproof, rutone, and gibberellin too. Please try them and see what they do.' To start new plants, a propagating kit, sparkling new shears for the old apple tree. To seed your new lawn, I have a patented sower. In case it should grow, here's a new power mower. For seed planting days, I have a trowel and a dibble and a roll of wire mesh if the rabbit should nibble. For the feminine gardener, some gadgets she loves, plant stakes, a sprinkler, and waterproof gloves, a chemical agent for the compost pit, and for pH detecting, soil testing kit. With these colorful flagstones, lay a new garden path for the kids to enjoy, and a bird feeder and bath. And last but not least, some well-rotted manure. A green Christmas year-round, these gifts will ensure. Then jolly St. Nick, having emptied his load, started his truck and took to the road. And I heard him exclaim, to the motor's loud hum, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all a green thumb."
A gardener's version of The Night Before Christmas that was adapted from The Gardener by our very own Richard Chiron. Thank you very much for sharing that with us, Richard. Well-composted manure, I think, is...
I'm not sure how you wrap that.
Again, that might be one of those great gift certificate gifts.
Yeah. But it's appreciated by every gardener.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. Join us with your suggestions for great gardening gifts or with your questions about your plants. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I also need to give Dennis Reese some credit for reading that for us.
He played a good St. Nick.
Yes. He's jolly, just like Santa, all the time. All right, we've got Melissa on the line from Carroll. Hello, Melissa.
Yeah, I had a suggestion for a gift.
Great.
I've been giving away tub trugs, which are plastic, flexible buckets that you can carry around your produce or your garden tools.
Nice idea.
Well, that's great. And are they hard to find, or are they pretty much at any garden store you look at?
Well, in the summer, they're pretty easy to find. Otherwise, you might have to go online, like on Amazon or something. But they're between $8 and $15, and they come in different sizes, too.
And how many of those do you think a good gardener needs?
Well, I got one last year, and I'm giving away a few more again this year for gifts. So I bought another one for myself.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Melissa.
Yep.
A number of my friends agreed that a good soil knife is an important gift to give, and they had different suggestions for their favorite kind, but a good weeder and digger to have handy. So that was one suggestion. Someone else suggested muck boots.
Oh, nice suggestion. Well, they're so colorful now, too, so you can get, bright colors and patterns of different things. Good suggestion.
All right, and Harvey's on the line in Mason City, and he actually has a question about plants. Hi, Harvey.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a sunroom and a lot of plants, and now I have a hibiscus, geraniums, and impatiens that do some blooming in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. Should I keep fertilizing those during the winter months to make them bloom more?
I would say if you do maybe once a month and use a very dilute fertilizer solution.
Okay.
They're really not growing much, and so they really don't need that much at that time. But maybe about once a month and use a very dilute solution.
You have to be careful that if you don't fertilize too much, because too much nitrogen will prevent them from blooming, even indoors.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I needed to know. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Harvey.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Next up, we have Tanya in Cedar Rapids. Hello, Tanya.
Hi. I hope that Santa Claus brings me any of the selection of knives, vegetable harvesting knives from Johnny's.
Oh.
Johnny's catalog. Maybe I really like their cabbage harvester knife. It's a really great tool in the garden.
A wonderful suggestion. Thank you so much for calling,
nice.
Tanya. And do the people in your life know this?
Or are they listening?
Right.
Probably neither.
Well, maybe you can give yourself a gift.
All right. Thank you.
Tanya,
Merry Christmas.
Yep. Thanks a lot. Another suggestion that I came up with from my Facebook friends, one of them said you can't go wrong with a nice pair of Felco pruners.
Mm-mm. Always a classic
Correct.
Gift.
A classic yeah. gift, mm-hmm. yes.
Lopping shears, pruning saw, absolutely. That'd be great.
And along with those vegetable harvesting tools, another friend of mine suggested she got a small pitchfork for Christmas last year with a circular handle, and she was amazed by how much she used it. She said she used it to turn the compost and to mm-hmm. harvest her potatoes. So
right. and another one we forgot to mention, too, that's a classic is a garden membership. So a membership to a public garden or right. even a membership or subscription to a magazine.
Like Ryman Gardens at Iowa State, mm-hmm. Des Moines Botanic Garden. There's one in Omaha. So there's a number across the Midwest where you can actually buy either an individual or maybe a family membership. And then that entitles that person or family to enter that garden throughout the year.
And even if you don't want to get a membership visiting there, they all have great gift shops where we have those, you know, wonderful tools or other garden gift ideas.
All right. And if you have any questions about plants, you can also give us a call today at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send an email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Jessie from Des Moines sent us an email and she says, I trimmed off two hydrangea flowers late last summer and I put them in a vase of water. Mm-hmm. They're still looking like they did the day I cut them and they've grown roots in the water.
Oh.
Also, about halfway up the stem, a few buds have grown out. Can I plant this in a pot now and transfer it outside in the spring? And how would I go about doing that?
Well, if it has roots, I'd go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. And I would pot it up, just use potting soil, and then put it in a sunny window and treat it like a house plant. Water it when the soil gets dry. Probably wouldn't fertilize it, though. And then if it does survive the stay indoors, then probably take it outside maybe around early to mid-May. And when you bring it outside, harden it off for a few days, and then go ahead and eventually plant it outdoors.
I think she's got a green thumb.
Yeah, that sounds like a wonderful surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And another suggestion that I saw for gift ideas, and I was looking at this online, and I don't think you can actually buy it because I think they're all back ordered through the end of January. But I wanted to ask you about them because I wonder how they work. She got a Mr. McGregor's fence as a gift last year. It's a solar, low voltage electric fence, and she put it around her vegetable garden, and she had great luck with it. But how do you think that works?
I've never used one, so I'm not sure. But when you're dealing with certain things like deer and raccoons, oftentimes you need some type of fencing, and oftentimes it has to be electric, and that's how you keep them out of the area. So
sounds like a great
any
idea.
Any type of electric-type device, if properly installed around the area, should be effective.
Well, I love the fact that it's solar. That.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, since it's back ordered through the end of January, a lot of other people love the fact that it's solar too. But anyway, she had a tremendous amount of work or a tremendous amount of luck with that.
Uh-huh.
So I'd be interested to find any other real world accounts of how that actually works, though. Brad is on the line. Hello, Brad.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello?
What's your suggestion?
Well, it came about as kind of an accident. Last January, I planted tomatoes inside to try to get an early start on some tomatoes and started having tomatoes during the winter yet. And so I actually have carried over tomatoes from last January that I'm eating. I'm harvesting them still in the house now because they're potted, of course. So this year I decided at the end of the summer I started some and I'm going to give them away to my friends that have window space in a garden or, you know, window space that I think like the fresh tomatoes. They aren't very fast growing in the wintertime, but
right.
it's still kind of fun to have fresh tomatoes.
Oh, it's fun to have fresh tomatoes anytime. What size containers are your tomatoes in?
These are in about 12-inch pots.
Okay.
And I have to keep them fairly well fertilized. But like I say, I transplanted the ones. I figured they would have died at the end of the year, but I've had tomatoes on them since May 1st till I ate one yesterday. So on the same tomato plant.
What kind of lighting are you using?
I have big windows in front of my house. I start them on. I have a starting bed where I start all my tomatoes in the basement that has a lot of strong artificial lighting. But once they get up to full size, I just put them in front of the window and keep turning them so they keep getting light.
So it must have some direct light, you know, from the sun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Direct light from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to work amazingly well. I've been gardening for years, never tried this, and it's been such a success. I couldn't believe it. So just going to try to pass along some others.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. That sounds really remarkable.
Sounds tasty.
Right. It does sound tasty. With the short days, I'm surprised that there's enough light to actually pull that off.
I'm guessing he probably also uses that area a lot during, you know, the evening, so the lights are on, so it kind of mimics or a longer day. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah. But he has to have a pretty intense light there, so that during the day he's getting enough sun for that plant to maintain.
All right. Well, if you have any gift ideas, or if you have questions about the plants in your house, if you have a Christmas cactus that's ailing, poinsettias that are looking a little pale, or any other plant that you'd like to talk about, give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we got a suggestion from one of our listeners who says check out Lee Valley Tools, tools that she's hoping for this holiday season. And another friend of mine suggested a fashionable sun-blocking hat. Are there any kinds of things? Now, you guys both are gardeners. Everyone right. knows that you're gardeners, so you probably get a lot of gardening-related gifts. Are there any things that you, without hurting anyone's feelings, have gotten too much of in the past?
Too much of.
I can't say that I have.
I can't think of anything either. Gardeners usually find a use for almost everything. So I have several hats, and you can never have enough of those or gloves or tools. So
okay.
I don't know that you can have too much of anything. Maybe that 7 tons of compost was a little too much.
not one necessarily to repeat this year.
Right.
And you suggested gardening magazines. If you have a favorite gardening magazine that you read and you subscribe to, give us a call and tell us about it. That might make some great gift suggestions for others. Erica's on the line from Ely. Hello, Erica.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, we are moving homes tomorrow, and we have some house plants that we'll be moving. One in particular that I'm worried about is my avocado that I planted this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if you have any advice. It's still very tender, and I'd like to try to keep it alive until it gets avocados on it. So,
okay. How big a plant is it?
It's about 14 inches tall, but okay. It's very, very thin stem still.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably get a large garbage bag.
Okay.
And warm up the car, and then place the plant in the garbage bag, and very quickly move it from the house to the warm car. And doing that, I think it should be okay as far as if it's exposed to freezing temperatures, it's going to be damaged or destroyed. So you have to protect it against the cold. And so if you warm up the car, if you put it in a large garbage bag, and then move it very quickly from the house to the car, I think you'll be all right.
How okay. far are you moving, Erica?
It's only about 15 miles, so it's not
yeah.
far.
So the key there is to keep the exposure to the outside to a bare minimum as far as run from the house to the car, and then when you get there, from the car to the house.
Okay, very good. And is there any special care I need after I get it to the new house?
I guess the main thing would be to look for a good site for it once you get there.
Right.
Basically, I would put it in a sunny window, like mm-hmm. an east window or a west window. And if it has a good site, then it should be just fine.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Erica. Good luck with the move.
Thank you.
Ellen is on the line from Cedar Rapids with a question. Hello, Ellen.
Good morning. I have several spring rye ferns that I have brought in from the outdoors, and I've done this, you know, several years. But they're turning yellow on me, and I want to know what's happening to them or what I can do for them. And I will take my answer off the line if that's okay.
Okay, thanks a lot,
all
Ellen.
Right. All right, bye-bye.
I think what's occurring there is the lower light levels indoors are kind of stressful. And whenever a plant is under stress, the immediate response typically is for some of the leaves to turn yellow and fall off. So that's common. So when you bring these inside in the fall, the biggest problem dealing with them is kind of the mess
mm-hmm.
because they drop quite a few of those little leaflets. But they still survive, so don't panic. Just keep them in a brightly lit location. Give them good care, and they'll be okay, but they may lose quite a few leaves, and this may continue for quite some time. So don't panic. They'll be okay.
So why would that be happening this year if it wasn't happening in past years?
That's a common occurrence, so I'm not sure why it didn't in the past. It's a common occurrence. I brought them inside. It normally happens. It's just when you go from outdoors to indoors, the light levels are reduced drastically. And for plants, that's just very, very stressful. And in response to that, they just drop their leaves. That's the same for things like a weeping fig. Any plant that you bring outside, they thrive outside with the increased light levels. And then you suddenly bring them inside, and that's kind of a shock.
All right. And so she was lucky in years past.
Yes, I would say that.
All right. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa, and we're taking your calls, your questions about any plants in your life. You can also call us with gift ideas for gardeners this year or the thing that's on your wish list. Let us know, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me are Cindy Haynes. She's an associate professor in the Hort Department at ISU, and Richard Giron of ISU Extension Horticulture. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and Richard Giron is here from Iowa State University Extension. Cindy Haynes is an associate professor in the Horticulture Department at Iowa State. Today we've been talking about some of the best Christmas gifts or holiday gifts for gardeners. People have been calling in with their suggestions or telling us about the best gifts they've received. We'd love to hear your suggestions, and we'd also love to hear your plant questions. If you have something going on with your house plants or if you're thinking about the garden in the spring, give us a call with your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Mary Ann is on the line from Ames. Hello, Mary Ann.
Hi, Charity.
Hi. What's your suggestion?
I just wanted to share one of my best Christmas gifts.
Okay.
One year my husband gave me knee pads. I have been complaining about working out in the yard, and that next Christmas knee pad showed up under the tree. I thought that was cool.
And they've worked well for you?
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Yeah, they're nice.
Yeah. Especially when these have like a plastic in them, so when the ground is damp, the cold wet doesn't come on your knees.
Oh, nice. Oh. Great suggestion, Marianne. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. That was one of those things that I was wondering if maybe people give gardeners too much of, some of those little plastic pads that you see all packaged up nicely in the landscaping stores.
As you get older, your knees just can't take the wear and tear, so it's always nice to have some of those.
As you get older, I'm not that old, and I still use the kneeling pad. And it's nice to have one or two because you're always losing one, or you know, and you can't find it. So, and good gardeners garden a lot. So, and we're on our knees a lot.
Well, when I was younger, it didn't bother me, but it does now.
I just can't believe you called Cindy old, Richard. That's
no, I didn't say that specifically.
All right. We've got an email from Iowa City from Holly. She says, a friend sent me some wisteria seed pods. Are the seeds likely to succeed if I plant them in the spring?
I doubt it. I think with those that they probably have a very hard seed coat.
They do.
And I'm guessing you're going to have to somehow physically break that seed coat before they'll germinate. So one possibility would be to get a file and maybe file through that very carefully.
Or sandpaper.
Or sandpaper. And keep on going until you find a little bit of white. I'm guessing the actual seed coat is probably brown or dark brown. So keep on filing until you run into white tissue. At that point, stop. And then once you have broken the seed coat, that will allow the water to be absorbed by that little embryo inside.
Okay. So, and that should work?
That should work, hopefully.
They don't need to go through a freeze or?
They may need that too. I'm not sure. I think the main problem there probably would be that seed coat, though, because they are a legume, and many of the legumes, like the red bud and the honey locust, they have those hard seed coats, and they definitely have to be broken. So what you could do is file through the seed coat, and then maybe take the seeds and a small container and get some peat moss and moisten the peat moss just lightly, and then bury the seeds and the peat moss, or put the bury the seeds and the peat moss, put those in a container, and then place that in the refrigerator and leave it in there for about 3 months. Many woody plants need to be exposed to cold temperatures for a period of time before they'll germinate. And if they have that requirement, that should take care of that. So they need to break the seed coat first and then maybe put them in the refrigerator for 3 months.
And is there an extension publication about this, Richard?
I doubt that there is.
No? Okay.
There would be in books, though. Okay. They would tell you how to do it.
Yeah. A lot of propagation books will talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you could probably, I'm guessing, if you search for the information online, it seems like everything is somewhere these days.
It's probably there somewhere, yes.
All right. We've got Sandy on the line from Marion. Hello, Sandy.
Good morning, everybody. It's so nice to listen and talk about gardening when there's about 3 or 4 inches of snow on the ground.
Well, and people north of you are thinking 3 inches.
That's nothing.
Yeah, for sure. I just caught the tail end of what you were talking about with wood, with plants that drop their leaves in the end of the summertime and the hope of keeping them alive until the next summer. Would the hibiscus plants that we can buy in the, in a store, they're not the woody ones that are in the ground that are...
The tropical ones?
Yes, the tropical ones. Mm-hmm. Would that be a plant that there's really not a lot of hope for after that season is done? I have one in the basement. It still is putting a few green leaves on, but most of the leaves that were there as that plant are pretty much dropping off in yellow.
Yeah, and that's a typical reaction for hibiscus because they really like a sunny spot outside during the summer, and when you bring it in, you don't get as much light, and they drop a lot of leaves. And I wouldn't say to throw it out because I think that tropical hibiscus is a lot tougher than we give it credit, and it can have 5 or 6 or maybe just a dozen leaves left on it all throughout the winter. You can cut it back a little bit in spring and get it back outside in the summer, and it will perform beautifully for you.
Right.
So just hang in there and be patient. Give it as much light as you can, if at all possible, and it will actually manage to survive.
Oh, that would be super, because it was a nice big plant.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Sandy, thanks a lot for your call. Stay warm.
All right, you too.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
You can give us a call with your questions at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Faith is taking us back to the idea of holiday gifts in Lorville. Hello, Faith.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, what are your suggestions?
Well, I am a huge Barbara Kingsolver fan, and she has written 2 books that gardening and or nature lovers, I think, would really enjoy. The first is a fiction, and it's called Prodigal Summer. The setting is in the Appalachian Mountains, and it's just full of nature and people who love nature. It's a lovely book. And the second is nonfiction, called Animal Vegetable Miracle, the story of her family becoming locavores for a year and seeing what effect that had on their eating and gardening habits.
Okay.
And it's a great reference book, too. It's full of recipes and gardening ideas.
Oh, wonderful. I hadn't even thought of looking in the fiction realm for gardening novels for gifts.
Uh-huh.
That's a wonderful suggestion.
Thank you very much for everything I'm learning this morning.
Oh, well, thanks a lot for your call, Faith.
Uh-huh.
Well, Cindy and Richard, I'll put you on the spot. Do you have favorite novels that involve gardening?
Well, there used to be a mystery writer that involved gardening. I remember reading, and I was trying to think of her name, and I can't remember her name because there was one where it was a huge compost pile and there was a dead guy found in it. So there's a lot of people that kind of integrate gardening into fiction as well. And I can't remember the name.
I knew I was putting you on the spot
with
that. I apologize.
But I also like that Animal Vegetable Miracle book. That's a really good book. So it does give you some good ideas.
Richard, I should be just as cruel to you as I just was to Cindy.
I can't recall one.
Okay.
I'm just going to pass on that.
All right. Joel is on the line in Cedar Rapids at 866-780-9100, and we have time for a few more calls. Joel, what's your question?
I have a plant. It's a green, a large leaf plant, and by large, maybe 3 inches. And then inside of it, it looks like a variegated red pattern on it. I don't know what the plant is called, but in the last week, all of a sudden, it started. The leaves started to roll up on themselves. It's almost like it was didn't have enough water, but that's not the case. I water the thing every day. I've been doing this for 2 years. And all of a sudden, the leaves have all rolled up on it. Is it dying? Is it a normal process? And since I don't know the name of the flower or the plant, there's no flowers on it, sorry. Since I don't know the name of the plant, I don't even have a clue where to go look to see what this would normally do.
Now, when leaves typically roll up, that's a sign of definitely stress where the leaf is not getting enough water. And obviously, one aspect of that would be if you don't water often enough. But on the other hand, if you keep things too wet, what happens is that many plants get a root rot, and some of the roots actually are destroyed. And even though the potting soil is quite wet, the remaining roots are not able to absorb sufficient moisture, and so they will roll up. So it could be a case of possibly overwatering where it's been kept too wet, and now some of the roots are basically rotting. Most house plants during the winter months don't have to be as watered as often as they do in the spring and summer because they're not growing as much. And so during the winter months, you typically don't have to water as often. When you do water, you should water thoroughly. Some water should flow at the bottom of the pot. The excess water should be discarded. But then before you water again, let it dry out quite a bit. And that's typically for most plants.
And the possibility, or a couple possibilities maybe for this plant, you might want to check out online Croton. They have a red pattern leaves. There are also some other kinds of aluminum plants, or I'm trying to think of, is that Pilea or Moses in a Boat that also has this kind of a red patterning on the leaves. But I think it might be a Croton.
Croton? Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Joel. Next up, we have Susie in Des Moines at 866-780-9100. Hello, Susie.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
Oh, probably a question you guys have heard a million times. I didn't get my daffodil bulbs in the ground in time, and I don't know what to do with them.
Okay. Well, it's probably impossible to get them in the ground at this point. So what I would do, how many do you have?
I bought a bulk thing. There's like 75 of them.
Ooh, okay. Well, at least I would go ahead and get some pots, several pots, and I would actually pot them up. With potting soil. And when you do so, the very tip, the nose of the bulb should just stick out of the potting soil. And you can put them in there so they're actually touching. That's okay. So put them in there real close together. And then once you have them planted, go ahead and water them. Water them nicely. Now, for them to bloom, they have to be exposed to cold temperatures for 12 to 16 weeks. That's why we plant them in the ground in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
To do that artificially, if you have like a second refrigerator, put them in the refrigerator and leave them there for 12 to 16 weeks. The cold period basically initiates flowering, so they can flower later on. They also develop a good root system during that time span. And then after 16 weeks, take them out. And what you can do, if you do it now, it's basically going to be January, February, March in the refrigerator. You would take them out in the spring in April. You can force them inside if you want, or you could actually dig holes outside and set those pots in the ground and have them bloom outside as they normally would.
So if Susie doesn't have a second refrigerator... And Susie,
then she needs to clean out the
winter is cold enough
right.
to leave them in the garage.
Yeah.
Would the garage be too cold?
The temperature needs to be around 40 degrees. That's the key thing.
But above freezing.
They have a garage maybe that's partially heated that stays quite cold, that would work great. You can, this could have been done in the fall, where you dig a trench outside, put them in the trench, and then take them out. But the temperature should be just above freezing. That's why the refrigerator works so well, because it's at that temperature.
So you could eat out a lot this winter, Susie.
Yes,
or you could clean out. You can clean out your main refrigerator and have space for the daffodils
for 3 months.
Seventy-five daffodils. Right.
Well, I do have a second refrigerator, so I'm going to give that a shot. Thank you so much.
All right,
that should work.
Thanks so much for your call, Susie.
All right, bye bye.
All right, and we've got just a couple of minutes left, and we have a couple of gift suggestions that you gathered that we haven't mentioned yet, and one is ergonomic hose, a diamond hoe or other items that save your back is a must for fruit and vegetable growers.
Mm-hmm.
That's one suggestion. And
that was from our fruit specialist,
I think. And along the lines of the gardening books, one of your friends suggested a book called Personality Trees, which is done by an Iowa photographer. And I looked at this a little bit online. It's Personality, I just can't say it correctly, Personality Trees by Joan Klosterman Kettles. And she has taken pictures of trees that look like people. And they're really remarkable pictures. I spent some time just before we went on the air looking at these pictures. So that's a fun one.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that Jeff Isles also suggested you could give a remote broadcast of Talk of Iowa from your garden to someone.
And we're going to do that from your garden next year, right?
Well, sure. If you guys will come and help, absolutely. I say yes. I might have to send this up the chain of command, but we did get one more suggestion by email. Pam in Des Moines wants somebody to put together their own gift box. Put in odds and ends such as a tablet or journal, pencils, eraser, pens, post-it notes, cleaning cloths or rags, oil for cleaning tools, calendar, picture frames for pictures of your garden wonders, how-to books, a box of envelopes to send off for whatever, all in a great toolbox or fishing tackle box, etc.
That sounds like I want to be one of her friends.
And, you know, we have one more caller on the line. We have Chuck on the line in Norway, or he'll be here in just a second. We can squeeze him in if we'll get him. There he is. He's on hold. Hi, Chuck.
Hi.
Hi. What's your suggestion or question?
Well, I have a favorite plant that I've been unable to kill for about 5 or 6 years now.
That's good.
I had it at one time in my sun porch, and then I thought it was a disposable kind of a plant, so I put it out in my garage. I had one of the wheel things on it so I could roll it around and get it out of the way, and it just stayed alive, and I have a detached garage that does have heat out there, but I keep it down around 50 degrees, and it's a Schefflera, and like I said, it's my kind of plant because I only have to water it about once a season.
Oh, wow.
So about 4 times a year, I'll take a gallon jug of water out there and I'll soak it down. And the darn thing has just lived forever.
So that might be a great gift suggestion for somebody who doesn't have a green thumb.
Yeah. That's my kind of plant, too.
Chuck, thank you so much for your call. And Richard and Cindy, thank you.
You're welcome.
Merry Christmas.
Richard Giron is a horticulturist with Iowa State University Extension. Cindy Haynes, an associate professor in the Hort Department. They'll be back in a couple of weeks. Talk of Iowa was produced by Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. And production assistance today was from Christina Sarnelli, who is leaving us today. She's moving to L.A. to work for Marketplace. Thanks for everything, Christina, and good luck.